from Antrim with Pharmacy Times. Welcome to Psychedelic Pharmacy, where we take a look at one of the fastest growing markets in healthcare, psychedelic medicine. This month, we're featuring an interview with Agnieszka Sekula and Praj Pushpanathan, co-founders of Enosis Therapeutics, which is an Australia-based medical technology and psychedelic research company. In an interview with Alana Hippensteel of Pharmacy Times, they discussed the potential uses of virtual reality in the psychedelic therapy space. They recently published the first academic paper examining the synergistic applications of VR technology and psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy to explore how clinicians and researchers are thinking about therapeutic environments and overcoming barriers that may obstruct existing psychedelic protocols. First, Sekula discussed her experience with VR technologies and how she realized that these tools could intersect with psychedelic therapies.
So my background is in biomedical technology, and I've used VR for a range of different purposes in field of science and medicine. And it was clear to me very early on that VR has very powerful therapeutic properties. I have then pursued another master's degree in psychology. And as I was doing that, I came across altered states of consciousness as a therapeutic modality. And I was interested in how VR could help with those altered states, how VR could induce altered states in order to be used for patients clinically. Prash and I started collaborating on a different paper together on altered states. And the conclusion of that paper was that perhaps combining different modalities at the same time might have an augmented effect and enhance patients' outcomes. So looking at those conclusions from our paper, we thought that using virtual reality and a different state-altering method, perhaps pharmaceutical one, could lead to better outcomes. And given that Prash's experience is with psychedelics, and he has a vast knowledge on that topic, we started discussing the potential synergies between VR and psychedelics. And the conclusions that we came to was that we should probably use those two modalities together.
Environmental factors can impact patients when using psychedelic therapy. And Pushpanathan said even the smallest details can be important.
Truly, when you're talking about psychedelic therapy, any factor in the environment plays a part. No factor almost is too small or too large. So everything from the people you're with, the, you know, whether it's the therapist or not, how warm the room is, whether the room feels sort of cold and unwelcoming or whether it feels warm and inviting. The sort of the days before, the time leading up to it, and how the patient comes into that room. All of those factors do play a part. And so really thinking about designing the experience of a psychedelic therapy session requires a really in-depth understanding of all the different factors that may make up that specific person's environment. But the flip side of that is that it also gives you a lot to possibly tweak and optimize. And there's that much that we can do in an analog manner in terms of actually modulating the physical environment around you. But the great thing about working in virtual reality technology is that there's so much more than you can tweak via that digital means that you necessarily can in an analog space. And that for us has been one of the sort of most important realizations and one of the most powerful techniques that we've been able to utilize.
Environmental design, such as the inclusion of greenery, can impact both the patient experience and the pharmaceutical effect of psychedelics in the clinical setting.
So the origins of psychedelic therapy, as much as we know it now in a very clinical setting, and it's being used in sort of therapeutic settings that are modeled after modern clinical methodology, psychedelics for the most part have been used in sort of ritualistic, shamanistic settings, which have generally been in nature. That's still what's often replicated by, I guess, more recreational psychedelic users who try and approximate as close as possible to that naturalistic type of setting. The benefits, again, are not, they haven't been empirically stated necessarily, but certainly anecdotally, there seems to be plenty of evidence that connection with nature connection with Mother Earth seems to be a very common theme that flows through the psychedelic experience, and as a result, acts as a perfect adjunct to any sort of therapeutic or intellectual exploration via the use of psychedelics. Again, using analog means that's not always that easily achieved when you're working in a clinical model, mainly because most of the settings happen in hospital environments or clinic environments, and the access to lush greenery isn't necessarily always there in a therapy room. And again, while it may not be as perfect as being in the middle of the Amazon, using virtual reality to approximate towards that sort of lush environment, understanding that the environments that can be created by virtual reality can be incredibly immersive, incredibly realistic. And while in that sense of open immersion in the virtual reality scenario, can come as close as we possibly can within the analog limitations that we have towards recreating that experience.
Not only does the use of VR allow for a range of setting possibilities, but Sakula said it also allows for control over the type of stimuli that a patient is exposed to.
So the beauty of VR is that it allows a whole range of possibilities, and that's the type of stimuli and the intensity of the stimuli that we can provide, but also the type of stimuli and the intensity of stimuli that we can subtract. So when most people think about VR, they think about the gaming environment. They think about something that is very immersive, but also quite intense as a setting, as a scenario. But VR is very powerful at buffering all the external stimuli, which is incredibly important in this case, given that the psychedelic experience is impacted by anything within your environment. And having even a therapist there sitting and looking at you, or having a painting or an armchair or a door or a clinical room reminds you of being in this clinical environment that is not your own, that is not your personal space. You're a visitor in that space. VR allows you that space that is your own, taking away everything that is around you that doesn't serve you, and gives you the setting that you can build by yourself. So one of the ways in which we use VR is by allowing patients to create and build their setting from inside out, in the process of preparation for the psychedelic session. So they've got the environment that they feel empowered within, that they can trust completely, that they're not just visiting, like they're visiting a clinician's office, but it's their own and that they've built and they have full control over. So that's in the process of preparation, for example, and that's a sense of empowerment that we try to install in patients.
Furthermore, VR can also allow for a more controlled transition from normalcy to an altered state and vice versa.
Another use of VR is transitioning from normal consciousness to altered consciousness and back from altered consciousness to normal consciousness. These are the most difficult parts of the psychedelic experience in terms of the sense of letting go and surrendering to the experience fully. Patients can struggle to surrender and to let go of any anxieties that they have around the experience right before that, before the full effects kick in. And we can use VR to ease that transition. We can use VR to, again, to take away any distractions of the external world and put them in that space where they're fully immersed, fully focused on their intention and on what they're about to experience. And try to direct them a little bit to that sense of introspection, to that mindful state that VR is very good at inducing. And then following the experience immediately after, VR can be used to anchor the psychedelic experiences, to act as a place where patients can experience the first narrative, which is the process at the end of the dosing session, where they start to communicate the experience, where they start to come back and they try to make meaning of their experience. But the experience itself is still very vivid, so it's very hard to communicate. And it's this very unique period of time where yes, the experience is very vivid, and we want to be able to communicate with them, but communication is very difficult. So a face-to-face communication with another human being is very challenging, and it seems almost surreal. So VR can be used as this buffering zone, as this transition zone that is the in-between kind of world, to continue that very intimate engagement from the patient's perspective, and where they can give the first narrative account without having to face the real world.
Importantly, VR could also impact power dynamics that exist between the therapist and patient in psychedelic therapy settings.
So in any form of therapy, there is a little bit of hierarchy between the patient and the clinician or the therapist. No matter how much therapists can try to make this as equal as possible, there's always the role division between someone who's being treated and someone who's guiding the treatment. And having the sense of empowerment to take control over your own healing is probably the most powerful thing that a patient can have. And installing that sense of empowerment and that trust that they're the ones in the driver's seat of their own healing process is critical for us at Enosis. By using VR as creating that space where both the patient and the clinician are visitors, are in equal measure visitors, provides a ground where they can meet eye to eye. So the patient is no longer a visitor in someone else's office. And it's things as simple as, you know, if you come to someone else's room, you don't adjust the lights, you don't move around the plants, you're in someone else's space, right? In VR, it is your own space. You're the one who built it. And the clinician and you are exploring that space together. So it's more of a sense of going on a journey together, an exploration together, that VR allows.
Pushpanathan noted that the use of VR could help mitigate some existing barriers within current psychedelic protocols.
I mean, one that we have spoken about, obviously, is the anxiety leading into the experience. That come up as the psychedelic experience is coming on, regardless of whether you're an experienced tripper, or particularly if you're a, you know, psychedelic virgin, so to speak, can be an incredibly anxiety provoking step. There's often that sense of like, oh, what have I done? What's going to come? I've heard so much about this experience, and I'm just a little bit terrified. That's a very, very common experience. And in that regard, the ability to for VR, particularly a really immersive VR scenario, to buffer that internal dialogue, shut that down, because you're completely ensconced within this space. This really helps modulate not just the setting, but the mindset leading into that psychedelic experience, which is incredibly valuable. Another thing I might mention is that psychedelic therapy tends to exist in silos of preparation, dosing, integration, rather disconnected silos, without necessarily something to provide a thread of continuity through. Even the actual environment where you do your preparation sessions is likely to be different from where you do your dosing sessions. And having this VR scenario that acts as a continuous thread through the whole process, we feel is very important in sort of disrupting that siloed nature of the way psychedelic therapy currently exists. The third thing I might add is the way we use virtual reality as an integration tool. Integration at the moment is often, should we say, once a week for anywhere from 4 to 10 sessions, depending on the protocol. And again, each session you come in and you're almost starting from scratch, right? You come in, you meet your therapist, you start having the conversation, and that session in itself is building up from ground zero to wherever you get to by the end of that session. Using VR as an integration tool allows you to build on the memories from the last session and the last session and the last session and the end of your actual trip session. And when I say build, I don't just mean theoretically build. For us, we create the capacity for you to actually physically build those memories and record them in your session. And so there is that sense of continuity and building on from the last time that exists, not just conceptually, but actually visually, even if it's virtually, and that is always accessible to the patient. And that is not something that the analog system could ever do, because of there's distinct limitations in what the analog system is able to achieve. But that the digital world, and that's where the plate and play of tech comes in, allows us to facilitate.
When considering future models of this therapy, Pushpanathan said there are some concerns about how commercialization of the space could charge forward without following the scientific process.
So the first thing that we would point out is that one of our very fervent wish is that there is no sense of charging into this. And we worry about, as I think a lot of people in a lot of research in psychedelic space worry about, capitalists and commercial players. But we do worry about commercial players charging into the space and sort of wanting to deploy VR scenarios that haven't been tested, that haven't been clinically validated, that haven't been peer reviewed. We approach this very much as an academic first team with an academic first approach. And so it's been vital for us to start off with putting out a conceptual analysis of our thoughts and our opinions and our thinking that drives our methodology, having that peer reviewed and validated, then starting to test this out in a small way, getting feedback, publishing that, getting that peer reviewed. For us, that is absolutely vital, because if not, you run the risk of it being overrun by commercial interests, by gaming and entertainment interests, without an actual scientific process towards it being injected into therapy, and therefore the process doesn't get adequately tested before it sort of is already there. And so that's something distinctly that we would like to see happen. The second point I might add in terms of the actual manifestation of it in psychedelic therapy, I think we'd like to see it in a similar vein to the way music is used now. Like, we've all accepted that music is an inescapable part of the psychedelic therapy process, and it helps to guide and modulate that experience. While perhaps not to the same degree in terms of being utilized throughout the dosing process, we do feel that virtual reality has a place in the same way of helping to optimize and modulate that therapy experience, and that we would love to see more people start to recognize that potential and use it as a mainstay in the therapeutic process.
Sakula concluded that VR is much more than an environmental design machine, and instead offers incredible opportunities as a state-altering modality.
I think we would like people to understand that VR is far more than just an environmental design machine. In fact, the evolution of VR is very tightly related with psychedelics, and it has initially emerged as a state-altering modality. And this is something that has been forgotten and has been drowned a little bit in the gaming industry and what VR is predominantly used for right now. But we would like to see going back to those roots of virtual reality and psychedelics as they emerge together, and to explore that also on a scientific level. There must be really interesting intersections of how consciousness works at the interface of a psychedelic drug plus an immersive virtual reality environment that are both state altering. And there's that interface of new high tech that we have developed and we have high control over, and something that we don't really understand but has been a part of our history for as long as we know. And so exploring that at a neuroscientific level and using all very powerful tech that we have now to investigate consciousness, I think this is something that could bring us much closer to understanding consciousness, to understanding how the sensory perception works, and using that to encourage more research in the space, to inspire research, the more blue sky type of research, where we don't really know the questions, but we might be arriving at some answers to put this puzzle together, not just of mental health, but of general mental well-being and human psyche.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you asked about setting, and and how VR can be used in setting, and I think we've talked a lot more beyond that. And I think it's what that points to is that I think when a lot of people think about even the possibility of VR being utilized with psychedelics, they think very simply about its use to just create a beautiful setting in the background. Whereas the reality is that is just the tip of the iceberg of possibility.
In addition to the modern research around psychedelic medicine, the history of medicine is full of fascinating findings and alternative approaches to both medical practice and drug research. Each episode, Ashley Gallagher from Pharmacy Times explores a historical approach to medicine that, despite its sometimes odd or bizarre nature, remains foundational to modern developments in the field.
When Arctic explorers set sail in the 19th century, did you know that they carried brandy on board as a treatment for hypothermia? Until the mid-20th century, brandy was used for centuries as a treatment for patients suffering from a fainting spell, hemorrhaging, difficult pregnancy, or hypothermia, and was considered a general health tonic by the medical community. Although it is true that brandy helped consumers feel warmer, modern medicine has shown that alcohol does not, in fact, help people recover from hypothermia. In fact, brandy contributes to heat loss by widening the consumer's blood vessels and decreasing their blood pressure. However, brandy was used for its believed health benefits by medical professionals until about 1963.
Thanks for listening to Psychedelic Pharmacy, a pharmacy-focused series. Tune in next month to hear more about the field of psychedelic medicine.